ほんのかげめて忘ればや
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 ほんのかげめて忘ればやBhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Yes, so let us see. We will just open it, close our eyes, open it at random. What, let us see what we have. Okay, looks very nice.Like a long report. Anyway, let us read this verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we have just opened Srimad Bhagavatam and found ourselves in the first canto, chapter 10, departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, text 21. Savai kilayam purusha puratano ya eka asid avishesha atmani agre gune bio jagad atmanishvare Nimilitat man nishisupta shakti shu. Translation. Okay, this is Lord Krishna, departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. So he's leaving Hastinapur. This is now the ladies on the roofs of all the houses. They said, here he is, the original personality of Godhead, as we definitely remember him. He alone existed before the manifested creation of the modes of nature, and in him only, because he is the Supreme Lord, all living beings merge, as if sleeping at night, their energy suspended. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are two types of dissolution of the manifested cosmos. At the end of every 4,320,000,000 solar years, when Brahma, the Lord of one particular universe, goes to sleep, there is one annihilation. And at the end of Lord Brahma's life, which takes place at the end of Brahma's 100 years of age, in our calculation at the end of 8,640,000,000 times 30 times 12 times 100 solar years, the answer is... Okay. 8,640,000,000 by 30 by 12 by 100 is okay. There is complete annihilation of the entire universe. And in both the periods, both the material energy called the Mahatattva and the marginal energy called Jiva-tattva merge in the person of the Supreme Lord. The living beings remain asleep within the body of the Lord until there is another creation of the material world. And that is the way of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material manifestation. The material creation is effected by the interaction of the three modes of material nature, set in action by the Lord. And therefore it is said here that the Lord existed before the modes of material nature were set in motion. In the Shruti Mantra, it is said that only Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, existed before the creation, and there was no Brahma, Shiva, or other demigods. Vishnu means the Mahavishnu, who is lying on the causal ocean. By his breathing only, all the universes are generated in seeds and gradually develop into gigantic forms with innumerable planets within each and every universe. The seeds of universes develop into gigantic forms in the way seeds of a banyan tree develop into numberless banyan trees. This Mahavishnu is the plenary portion of Lord Sri Krishna, who is mentioned in the Brahma Samhita as follows. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead Govinda, whose plenary portion is the Mahavishnu. All the Brahmas, the heads of the universes, live only for the period of his exhaling, after the universes are generated from the pores of his transcendental body. That's Brahma Samhita 5.58. Thus, Govinda, or Lord Krishna, is the cause of Mahavishnu also. The ladies talking about this Vedic truth must have heard it from authoritative sources. And authoritative source is the only means of knowing about transcendental subject matter definitely. There is no alternative. The merging of the living beings into the body of Mahavishnu takes place automatically at the end of Brahma's 100 years. But that does not mean that the individual living being loses his identity. The identity is there, and as soon as there's another creation by the supreme will of the Lord, all the sleeping, inactive living beings are again let loose to begin their activities in the continuation of past different spheres of life. It is called suptotita nyaya, or awakening from sleep and again engaging in one's respective continuous duty. When a man is asleep at night, he forgets himself, what he is, what his duty is, and everything of his waking state. But as soon as he awakens from slumber, he remembers all that he has to do and thus engages himself again in his prescribed activities. The living beings also remain merged in the body of Mahavishnu during the period of annihilation. But as soon as there's another creation, they arise to take up their unfinished work. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 8:18-20, which Prabhupada doesn't actually quote here. The Lord existed before the creative energy was set in action. The Lord is not a product of the material energy. His body is completely spiritual, and there's no difference between his body and himself. Before creation, the Lord remained in his abode, which is absolute and one. Savai kilayam purusha puratano ya eka asid avishesha atmani agre gunebhyo jagad atmanishvare nimilitatman nishisupta shakti shu. They said, the ladies on the roofs of the houses, different buildings in Hastinapur, Delhi, when Krishna was departing for Dwaraka. They said, here he is, the original personality of Godhead, as we definitely remember him. He alone existed before the manifested creation of the modes of nature, and in him only, because he is the Supreme Lord, all living beings merge, as if sleeping at night, the energy suspended. Nama Om Vishnupada Krishna Krishna Bhutale Shimadhyamakti Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisheshashamadhi Pashatyadeshatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikabhatrivyascha kripasindhubhyocha, patitanam pavaneyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna, devotees, how nice, how wonderful to be here with you all. And I hope everyone is happy in Krishna consciousness. So, well, this is quite philosophical, you could say. Information about the process of creation and annihilation of the material world and the parts that different beings and persons play in all of that. So, there are two types of annihilations, dissolutions, Prabhupada describes here. Actually, there's more, but two main types. One is at the end of every 4,320,000,000 of our years when Lord Brahma goes to sleep. Is an annihilation of the whole creation, the whole thing. Then at the end of his life, so that was at the when he goes to sleep at the end of his day, and he sleeps for another 4,320,000,000 of our year. That's a good snooze. Prabhupada. Occasionally Lord Brahma, during the course of while the universe, while everything is there and everything's happening, occasionally he takes a nap. And there's a description in the Bhagavatam of one time he took a nap, and as he was breathing while napping, then his breathing is the Vedas. And he exhaled, and a demon by the name of Hayagriva. Now there's also an incarnation of the Lord, horse-headed incarnation named Hayagriva, but this is a demon, came, and as he exhaled the Vedas, stole the Vedas. And the Supreme Lord had to come and kill the demon and rescue the Vedas. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada, so 4,320,000,000 years. That's a long time to sleep. I don't know about you, but if I sleep beyond a certain time, I mean a certain number of hours at night, for me, it's about 6.5. I start dreaming. And I sometimes have sort of strange dreams. When I just had the operation, 2.5 weeks ago. And for a few nights after the operation, because of the anesthetic, I assume, I had these very strange dream. Very. And I woke up and I realized, this is not normal. But Srila Prabhupada also would take a short nap during the day. Generally I don't do it, but Prabhupada did practically every day. And he used to call it a short nap or a snack. short nap, snap. So anyway, here we have Lord Brahma. So when he just goes to sleep for that very long time, of course for him it's not a very long time. This is all just calculated according to our experience of time. And different living entities have different experiences of time. For him, that 4,320,000,000 years of his daytime, the daylight time, for him it's just like it's 12 hours. And that's how he feels it to be. It's not like this day which just goes on and on and just practically never ends. You follow what I mean? It's just a day for him. And there's the story, you may be aware. The father of Revati, who eventually became the wife of Lord Balaram, the father whose name I forget, I don't know if any of you remember, but the father of Revati was concerned long before Krishna and Balaram appeared 5,000 years ago, long. He was concerned about finding a nice husband for her, the father. So he took her to Brahmaloka to ask Lord Brahma who could be suitable. But Lord Brahma was busy, I think, listening to a musical performance, something of that sort. And so the father and Revati had to wait until the performance finished. So after something, an hour, whatever it might be, the performance finished and they approached Lord Brahma. And the father said that, you know, this is the situation and can you help us choose? Help us choose. Because they're coming from a particular time on planet Earth and there were certain potential candidates, young men around, you know, very nice young men, and how to choose, because they're very nice. So they asked Lord Brahma, so the father asked, you know, help us choose who amongst this list of very nice young men would be most suitable as a husband for our daughter. And Lord Brahma, you know what happened? Lord Brahma laughed and said, they all died thousands of years ago because you've been here for 1 hour. His 12 hours is 4,320,000,000 years. So you divide 4,320,000,000 by 12 is another bit of mathematics for you, but you know, whatever it is, and you've got 1 hour in Brahmaloka. But for Lord Brahma, it's an hour. It's an hour. And for anyone who goes to Brahmaloka, like them, they were from planet Earth, it also seems like 1 hour. So Lord Brahma laughed and said, they all died thousands of your years ago, just, you know, maybe probably millions of your years ago. So sorry, you know, can't help. And so the father and Revati were disappointed. And Lord Brahma said, don't worry, you go back to planet Earth. If you go back now, Lord Krishna and his brother Balaram, they're just about to appear, and Revati can become the wife of Lord Balaram. How's that for an interesting story? Prabhupada tells the story somewhere. It's in the Puranas. So yes, it's like that. And now we are in the middle of Lord Brahma's day. There are 14 Manus in those 12 hours, the daylight hours of Lord Brahma. There are 14 Manus. Each one not really lives, but rules for one of those 14 periods. So it's sort of like there's a little less than an hour of Lord Brahma. One of the Manus rules for 14 of them. We're currently in the time of the seventh Manu of the 14 in this day of Brahma. And we are, so if you divide 1,000 by 14, what do you get? Oh, come on. You know mathematics. What do you get? It's in the vicinity of 71. It's in the vicinity of 71. 4 times 7 is? You got it. And 10 times. Yeah, okay. And 10 times. Where? 7 is 70. So it's 70 plus 28. 71 is 98. But there's. Have I got it? 14 times 71. Anyway, it's just less than 1,000. Because in between each of the 14, there's a little gap. There's a little gap period, transitional period, before the next Manu takes over. So yeah, 14 cycles of the 4 yugas in the period of rule of each Manu, and there's 14 Manus in a day of Brahma. And Krishna appears in the 28th cycle, in the lifetime or period of rule of the 7th Manu of the 14 in the daylight time of Lord Brahma. And therefore, we, Prabhupada said, we're right in the middle of Lord Brahma's day. And Prabhupada said, it is Lord Brahma's lunchtime. So there you go. That's just a little bit of background. Lord Brahma, yeah. Different experiences of time. Time is not exactly fixed. Time as we know it, time as we know it or experience it, stops when at the end of each day of Lord, certainly at the end of Lord Brahma's life, time as we know it stops. Because time is an energy, Kala Shakti. Yes. So time's an energy, and energy means there's flexibility. There may be more, there may be less, it may be in this way, it may be in that way. Time is flexible. Even we have experience ourselves of the flexibility of time, in the sense that when you're doing something really nice, you're just having great fun, then sometimes, well, there's the saying, I'm sure we've all heard, time flies. Sometimes it's like that. Suddenly you find, oh, you know, some couple of hours, some time has passed, but it doesn't feel like it. But other times, time seems to crawl, like when it's Friday afternoon at work. This is, you know, I haven't worked for 45 years, but they say it's just like, you know, time seems to slow down because your, you know, your absorption in your life and your life's activities is sort of become frustrated to some degree. And so it appears that time has slowed down. Or here's another interesting one. Think about this. On the moon, you know, we follow the lunar calendar. And we follow, the way we follow the lunar calendar is from Purnima to Purnima is a lunar month, which is normally a little less than a solar month. I mean, there's no such thing as a solar month, really, but just the way people have divided up the year into months according to the solar, you know, the sun. So it goes from Purnima, full moon, through the Amavasya, means no moon, and so-called new moon, and then up again to full moon. So one way of interpreting that is that this is, at least from Amavasya, which is in the middle of the lunar month, to the next Amavasya. Amavasya means dark moon night. And that means through the Purnima, that is 12 hours on the moon. And then, that's 24 hours. Am I right? Have I got it? Yeah. Something like that. So then another way of looking at it is that, and Prabhupada talks about that for certain insects, they are born at night, you know, like sunset, you get all these insects coming out. So a whole lot of them have been born, and then through the night till the next sunrise or thereabouts, they all die. But before they die, at some point during the night, they produce eggs or whatever it is, their reproductive process. And so now we're going through the day. Next, around sunset, those eggs hatch and you get a new generation of that particular insect. And Prabhupada made the point that, you know, they're born at sunset, they die at sunrise. For them, that's 100 years. Yeah. They feel it like 100 years. Yeah. And, you know, that their life, you know what it's like to live a life? Well, when you get older, you get sort of, you know, more of an overall perspective of what a life means, with all the, you know, ups and downs and different events and things that happen, and it's quite a thing, a lifetime. They go through the same experience of all different things happening and comings and goings and meetings and separations and discussions or whatever, working. So, but for them, they feel it like 100 years. They don't feel it like a few hours and then it's all over. And similarly for Lord Brahma, he feels it like 100 years. And it's not like he feels it every day is just going on endlessly. It's just no end to it. And finally there's an end to it. But, what a length of time that is. So, and one devotee, maybe it's speculation, but anyway, Hare Krishna. It's an interesting little point. If you try to sort of hit a fly or catch a fly, I don't really recommend it, but sometimes, you know, people do these things. It's very hard to catch a fly, right? Because, you know, sometimes people, I'm not into it at all, but sometimes devotees, they actually catch a fly. If a fly is bothering them, they catch it and put it out. But you have to be extremely fast. Why? At least an explanation given by one devotee. Because flies have a different experience of time. I don't know how long flies live, but it's more than a day. It's some number of days or whatever it may be, I'm sure. One could find out if one really wanted to. But that's for them 100 years. So in other words, when your hand is, not you, but someone, maybe you, your hand is coming to catch them, by their standards, because their experience of time is different, it's all like in slow motion. Here comes this hand. And therefore it's no problem to escape. Now that's speculative, but maybe you should edit that out. Yeah, okay. So, but then there's an annihilation. Now, Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that when we go to sleep at night, I think all of us slept last night, so we slept for some several numbers, you know, 6, 7, whatever, however many hours it was we slept for. And when we were sleeping, we were not, in terms of consciousness, awareness, and our sort of conscious interaction with the realities around us, we were not there. We were not there, effectively. I mean, we were lying there, of course. But in terms of conscious action, interaction, and awareness, we were not here. We were maybe in a dream world somewhere. You know, some other things happening, some different type of dream world. Or we were maybe just nowhere, just in deep sleep, just unconscious, effectively dead, you could say. But there was, and others may have been doing other things right here at that time. But we were not there in terms of our conscious existence. So in other words, we were in a state of annihilation, an annihilated state, in a certain sense. When Lord Brahma sleeps, there's actually annihilation. Yeah. For us, when we sleep, there is effectively annihilation. You lose, you know, in terms of life, what you can do. Because when we think about our lives, we think about what we are doing, what we'd like to do, what we can do, and that's what we think about. And we don't really think about our sleep. It's like a non-event, really, in between the actual events of our lives. So if, just for argument's sake, we sleep 6 hours a night, that's 1/4 of the 24 hours. And we do that every day. By the time we conclude our lives in these bodies, we will have, you could say, wasted or at least lost, we will have lost one quarter of the time that was available to us. I'm not suggesting we try and stay up, you know, 24 hours, because it's, you know, some people do that. There are people who don't sleep, at least for periods of time. But the problem is that, you know, our physical and psychological emotional systems, they need that for replenishment. And if people, you know, sometimes people stay up for a week. I think some people have stayed up even a lot longer than a week without sleeping. But it tends to make a person imbalanced psychologically. They become sort of unstable psychologically. But still, the point is there that if we slept 6 hours out of 24, every 24 hours, we would have lost one quarter of our life. And so it's a sort of a type of, our life was sort of annihilated, at least for that period of time. So all these things are going on. But when Brahma sleeps, you know, there's actually an annihilation. All the living entities, all of us, go into the body of Mahavishnu. And we remain there for that. You know, if it's the at the end of the day of Brahma, we remain within Mahavishnu for another 4,320,000,000 years until Brahma wakes up again, and then he establishes the creation again, or manifests it, creates it again. Yes. So, and Prabhupada makes an interesting point that when, at the beginning of either the next day of Brahma or the lifetime of the next Brahma, when, because in both cases, if it's just Lord Brahma's, the new Lord Brahma's first day of life, or if it's just the next day of the life of Brahma, the process of creation is the same. It's not that the process of creation differs depending on whether it's a new Brahma or it's just the new day of the same Brahma. But Prabhupada makes the point that what happens to us when we are then placed into our next body, having been in Mahavishnu for however long it may have been, but it was long. When we now get put in our next body, Prabhupada says it is called Suptotita Nyaya. Interesting term. Nyaya actually means logic. Anyway, Supta means sleep. Prabhupada says it's called Suptotita Nyaya, or awakening from sleep and again engaging in one's respective continuous duty. And let's just say it was the beginning of Brahma's next day, just for argument's sake. So we had been in that state. It's actually called susupta. Susupti or susupta means deep sleep. Su means very, like subhadra. Bhadra means auspicious. Subhadra means very, extremely auspicious. Sumangala also means very auspicious. So, Susupti, very deep sleep in Mahavishnu. Now, Lord Brahma's day, next day, just started. He's just waking up. And we are now placed in the universe. He creates the first generation of living entities for this particular day of his. And we are now born in that first generation in his next day, having been in that deep sleep for 4,320,000,000 or so years of our, by our calculation. But subtotita nyaya means that one is just placed in the natural type of body, which would just be your next body, even if you just died and just taken birth, as happens regularly during the course of, you know, the ongoing affairs in this material world. You just get reborn again after some months or after a little while in the body which just fits in with your state of consciousness, your karma when you left your previous body. So in the next creation, same thing happens. And you just carry on from where you left off. As Prabhupada says, again engaging in one's respective continuous duty. Continuous. It's just a continuum. It's not like one life. It's finished. Now next life. It's just something else. Something different. It's just continuous. So, and Prabhupada then gives the example of us not just being born in our next body after dying, just, you know, like recently dying and then born in the next body, then you just carry on. Prabhupada gives the example of waking up the next morning. And when you when you're asleep, you know, you're just else, you're not there. You're not in your life with all the different elements that make up your life. You're just in an annihilated state. But when you wake up the next morning, you just carry on. It's not like, oh, where am I? And now it's a whole different thing. No, it's just part of a continuum. The continuum carries on. So such is life. Life is such. Yeah. These things are happening in the process of creation and annihilation within this material world. And just an amusing thing. I really found it amusing. You know, there's a controversy between India and China right now. I don't know if you're aware. It's not a huge controversy, but it is a controversy that the Dalai Lama, who is based in India, I don't know if he went or if it happened or what exactly is the current state of affairs, but he wanted to go to visit one town which is right by the Chinese border, which is a Buddhist town, and it's under him. But this part of India, China feels it belongs to them. And so it's a disputed area, sort of like Kashmir, sort of but not, you know, there's no war going on like sometimes in Kashmir. But the Chinese, they feel it belongs to us. So they were objecting to the Dalai Lama visiting that town, even though it's in India. And there was a bit of a controversy during the course of this week just passed. And so I saw that. Then I took it upon myself. Because, you know, you're probably aware, Indra Jumna Maharaj just met the Dalai Lama. Yeah. You're aware of that. Interesting. In Vrindavan. Anyway. So I just read, what I read was, it was when the Dalai Lama escaped from Tibet, 1959, the Chinese were coming to capture him. But, you know, somehow someone figured out that it was possibly going to happen, so he escaped. And he had to travel, you know, for like, I think, 2 weeks through Tibet on back roads, only traveling at night, and then cross into India, and he made it. The Chinese were trying to find him, and it was a whole thing. So I read the report from Time magazine from then, 1959. It was on, I guess, CNN. It was on somewhere. So I read the report about how it all happened and how it all built up. And it talked about how he became the Dalai Lama. I won't go into the details. You know, if you want to, you can look it up on Google. But they figured out, you know, they have some system of their own, the validity of which, you know, I'm not going to comment on directly, but they feel it's valid. And they identified him. I think he was either 2 or 4 years old. And anyway, it's a bit of a long story, but he became the Dalai Lama at the age, I think they actually, when he was 4, they installed him. And there was a photo of him being installed as the Dalai Lama, 4-year-old child. And then they trained him, you know, he was educated and he was trained mainly by lamas. But there was a, I think, German man who was a Buddhist. But he taught him, like, about the Western world and English language and some things like that. And he said that this Dalai Lama, as a young boy, he's like 10 years old. They were together for some years. He said, you know, the Dalai Lama as a 10-year-old or whatever, maybe teenager, I forget, said, you know, in my previous lifetime, he's talking about the previous Dalai Lama, in my previous lifetime, I had a great interest in horses, because apparently the previous Dalai Lama was some sort of, you know, he was a bit of a horse fan. So this Dalai Lama is saying to this Westerner who's educating him, in my previous lifetime, I had a great interest in horses, but in this lifetime, I have no interest whatsoever. I just, you know, they mean nothing to me. Although he himself accepted that, you know, at least intellectually, that he was that person. But, you know, if you think about it, it would seem to indicate that it wasn't him in his previous lifetime. Because you get born in your next lifetime, and it's just like, as Prabhupada explained here, it's just like when you woke up this morning, compared to yesterday. It's just, it's a continuum. And, you know, your interests, your feelings, your ideas, your just everything, it's just carried over from yesterday. It's not like different. So interesting. I found that interesting. And it, yeah, and because it's a bit of a, you know, with all due respect, bogus system, really. It's a bit of a bogus system. And, you know, I think this Dalai Lama, the current Dalai Lama, who's pretty bogus, I mean, he's a meat eater to start off with. And he has said that he thinks there may not be a next Dalai Lama. Because I think he's figured it out. Of course there's not going to be a next Dalai Lama. Yeah, anyway. So there's some thoughts there about time, Lord Brahma, and how all these things work. Hare Krishna. And please excuse me, that is completely spontaneous. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
And what is the time, actually?
8:30.
It's?
8:30.
What's 8:30? Okay.
Which can I ask some questions?
Oh.
If it suits you.
Okay.
So, when the living entities are not manifest and withdrawn into Mahavishnu, that means there's no opportunity to escape the cycle of birth and death.
No opportunity. Only when there is a creation. And you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talks about it in Brahma Samhita, if you read there, he talks about it. That Mahavishnu, who's like, you know, so much involved in overseeing the material world, and Garbhadaksha Vishnu and Shiradaksha Vishnu, they're just expansions of himself. For different functions in the material world. He wants the next creation to happen when, you know, the living entities are within him and it's that interim period. He wants it to happen because he knows that's the only way they'll get a chance to go back to Godhead. Otherwise, there's no chance for that time. And just talking about time, I forgot to mention, Lord Brahma's night is 4,320,000,000 of our years. For Mahavishnu, it's the period of one inhalation and exhalation. Talking about time scales. For Lord Brahma, it's 12 hours. You know, it's night time. He just sleeps. For us, it's 4,320,000,000 years. For other little insects and creatures that only live for one of our nights, I don't know how long it is for them, but it's very long. But we're not conscious. We're in deep sleep. It means consciousness is withdrawn into the Atma. Yes.
Maharaj, you made the point that when Brahma's day ends and all the living beings are brought back into Mahavishnu, right. The thought that came into me was that when the new generation starts, does a new yuga start, or does the yuga that was previously okay. Then does it continue?
Okay. You know, it ends with a Kali Yuga. And the next day begins with a Satya Yuga. Yeah.
So, Guru Maharaj, just with expanding from Mahavishnu, I just wanted to, it confuses me. So from Lord Balaram comes Sankarshan, is that correct? And then from him, Narayan, and then the second Sankarshan.
Sort of, well, not exactly, but comes Sankarshan, then from Sankarshan, who's in Goloka, Then from Sankarshan in Goloka comes Maha Sankarshan in Vaikuntha. And from him come all the there come, you know, the rest, the Narayans, there are many Narayans. And then from Maha Sankarshan comes Mahavishnu.
And so Karana Dakshaya Vishnu is lying on the causal ocean. Garbhadaksha.
Causal ocean.
So Garbhadaksha Vishnu enters each and every universe. So there's a Brahma appearing from each and every navel of all of those Garbhadaksha Vishnus?
No, from Garbhadaksha Vishnu, his navel, comes one lotus flower. Lord Brahma appears as the first being on top of the lotus flower. From him, through the stem, appears on the top of the one lotus flower in each universe.
I want to clarify, you said at the end of Brahma's night there's a total annihilation of the whole creation.
That's what Prabhupada said, yeah.
So what's the difference between that annihilation and at the end of his life?
There's not really a great difference. Because when he sleeps, he goes into Mahavishnu also. He doesn't sleep in Brahma Loka. Because in the next day, everything comes out from Mahavishnu again. And the universes come out from the pores of Mahavishnu's body. And then Garbhadaksha Vishnu expands from Mahavishnu into each of the universes. But then Lord Brahma and all the living entities, they go in the glance into the womb of Mother Nature, and then they're distributed to the Garbhadaksha Vishnus, and they appear through the lotus, the stem of the lotus.
A question. In the yugas, in one purport, in the first canto, I think it's where it's describing Vyasadeva's birth. Prabhupada says sometimes the yugas overlap and there's a change, like this one. Dwapara Yuga came after Treta Yuga, but it's actually before. So this overlapping, what does that mean? That they change over because of overlapping?
Somehow something like that happens. There's some sort of mixing of the yugas. But, you know, interesting thing is, the way Prabhupada talks about it, not just Prabhupada actually, but the acharyas, is that the order that we have, Satyuga, Treta, Dwapara, Kali, is just, you know, repeatedly presented as being the normal order. But sometimes there's an overlapping. And exactly what that means, it's a little difficult to say.
Okay.
I mean, the total sort of implication.
So that purport is a little different then. Because you were saying the general idea is Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali.
You know, that's just presented, you know, many, many times as being the order.
So when we did Bhakti Vaibhava, Hari Lila Prabhu was presenting that. When we asked him this question, he said there's a story in the Puranas related to, I think it's Vishwamitra Muni, who did the wedding of Lord Ramachandra. And he was asked to, I can't remember the details, but they told him that you would be the priest for Lord Ramachandra's wedding, which would be in Treta Yuga. And he said, I can't wait so long, because it's Satya, Dwapara, Treta. So Lord Brahma made a special arrangement to bring Treta Yuga before Dwapara.
Okay, I never heard that. that Jiva Goswami says that Lord Ramachandra appeared in the 24th cycle.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't exactly say it, but he says that many authorities say, not in this cycle, this is the 28th cycle.
Sorry, one last question.
One last.
Sorry. So the Manu in Bhagavad Gita, which Manu is that? Is that
it's Vaivasvata Manu.
The current
son one. Of Vivasva.
Okay.
Vaivasvata means son of Vivasva. Who spoke? You know, Vivasvan spoke. Yeah.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki. ISKCON Pretoria East Ki. Are you also Pretoria East?
Yes.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
ISKCON Pretoria East Ki.